Awesome Arithmetic Tricks, a Murderous Maths Book, read by Vienna Vance, by Jartin Poskett. Get your teeth into takeaways. Introduction. What are the essential arithmetic tricks? Everybody can be utterly brilliant at something, but it doesn't matter whether it's conjuring, cooking, carpentry, or even kissing. You have to start at the bottom and get to grips with the bare essentials.
Are you sure you start at the bottom?
In maths, the bare essentials, adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing, are called arithmetic. Once you've got the hang of the basic tricks involved in doing them, then you'll be on your way to designing your own space rocket, building up a fabulous business empire, and having your own skyscraper, or even inventing an amazing new number that nobody else has ever thought of. Wahey! But before we dive in, let's see how important a few essential tricks are to a completely different subject, painting. Suppose you wanted to buy sunflowers by the Dutch artist Vincent van Gogh, you would have to wave goodbye to at least 25 million pounds and probably a lot more. That's not bad for one oil painting, is it? But did Vincent start out doing really top-range pictures like that? No, of course he didn't. Like everybody else, he had to start at the bottom and learn the essential tricks. First of all, he needed to get the hang of important details such as, a brush won't make a mark unless you put some paint on it first. It's easier to keep the paper still and move the brush about rather than the other way around. No, you put the paint on the canvas, not in your ear. Next, you had to learn more complicated stuff like this. If you're painting the countryside, the sky should be blue and go along the top, and the grass should be green and go along the bottom. Trees are bigger than flowers, unless they are a lot further away, in which case they are still bigger, but look smaller. People have two eyes with a nose in the middle. Funnily enough, Pablo Picasso never learned this one, but his pictures still go for the same sort of money as Vincent's. Here are some of Vincent's very first pictures. Mummy, host, Vince. Of course, this was just a start, but without it, Vincent would never have got so good. Who knows? If he kept at it, he might have been talented enough to do the pictures for a murderous maths book. With maths, it's just the same. We have to start by learning to count 1, 2, 3. Next, we move on to adding and multiplying and generally squishing numbers about. Then, gradually, we build up to the good stuff. Now, we need an idiot to write in with a stupid question. Dear murderous maths, why have we got to learn adding and multiplying and generally squidging numbers about when there are computers and calculators to do it for us? Yours thickly, Annie Jot. Well, suppose Van Gogh had said, I can't be bothered with painting. I'll take a photo instead. Nobody would be paying umpteen millions just for a snapshot of a few flowers, would they? So much for the art world. This book is going to introduce you to a completely different world full of exploration, discovery, fun, games, challenges, tricks, and triumphs, and probably most important of all, money. Whether you become a star, an artist, a pop singer, or the prime minister, at some point you are going to wonder if you've been given the right wages, and when it comes to working it out, the best person to trust is yourself, providing you know some murderous maths. Hey, we're loaded. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can try and sneak by with a foot. With fudged answers or getting help from a sweaty little electronic box, but sooner or later you'll show yourself up. The only way to really survive and go on to be a champion is to get your head around the awesome arithmetic. Back to the sandpit. Weren't lessons absolutely brilliant when you first started school? Instead of French, history, math, science, or any of those things, you got lessons like sandpit, story time, and building blocks. Isn't it a pity you can't keep doing sandpit, and when you leave school you could even do sandpit exams? What you probably didn't realize, though, is that murderous maths gets everywhere. It even sneaks into sandpit. Look at this. Ahem. No more than three in sandpit at once. This might seem innocent enough, providing you know what three means. Of course, you're thinking that everybody must know what three means, but believe it or not, there are some people who cannot decide. Pure mathematicians. Brilliant or barking. As you probably know, scientists have found out that everything is made up of tiny atoms. Even if they invent the smartest computer, or build the coolest car, they can't help using atoms because that's all they've got. Consequently, atoms are very interesting to scientists, and they spend a lot of time studying them to see what they are made of, and even wondering how they got to be there in the first place. They even wonder why atoms got to be there in the first place. Did the atoms actually choose to exist, or did someone tell them to? Oy, you, start existing. It's amazing the weird things that scientists worry about, isn't it? Mathematicians are just as bad. They can invent awesome formulas or calculate the movements of planets and stars, but whatever they do, they can't help using numbers. In the same way that scientists worry about what atoms are, there are people called pure mathematicians who worry about what numbers are. These can be quite normal-looking people who get up, eat their cornflakes, catch the bus to work, then sit in an office all day, just wondering, what is three? Anyway, let's get back to the sandpit. There you were in your little pink bloomers, toddling up to have a turn, but as you got there, you realized there were three people already in it. How did you manage to do that? Because unlike some pure mathematicians, you knew what three was, even if you did have a bit of dribble going down your chin. Incredible as it may seem, you had already mastered your first bit of murderous maths. Sadly, something unfair has just happened. Three more kids have decided to break the rules and push past you into the sandpit to join the three kids already there. How can you work out the number of kids in the sandpit altogether? There are two methods. You could count them all and get to seven like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You could start counting from three and count up one number for each extra kid that is joined in. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You might not see much difference in these two methods, but it becomes more obvious with bigger numbers. Suppose you have 35 kids already in the sandpit, and 4 more come in. How can you work out how many kids are in the sandpit? You could count all 39 of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yawns, door bump, ouch. Where'd we got to? You could start at 35 and count up one number for each extra kid that comes in. 36, 37, 38, 39. So which do you think is easier? Here's the clever bit. When you first learn to count, you just learn to say the numbers in order. 1, 2, 3, and so on. You then went on practicing your counting up to higher and higher numbers, and that's how you know how to count. Where is it? Let's take one more trip back to the sandpit, and you're so pleased that you didn't go in, after all, because there are now 29,836,758 kids in there, and incredible as it may seem, yet another four come along to join them. How can you find out how many are in the sandpit now? You could count all 29,836,762 of them. You could start counting at 29,836,758 and count up one number for each extra kid that comes in. But just a minute. You've never practiced counting past 29,836,758 before, have you? If you have, then stop reading this book immediately and get urgent help. In fact, you've probably never even seen the number 29,836,758 before, so how do you know what it means? It's because you know about the number system, which lets you understand any number immediately, which is one reason why maths is more fun than languages. If you suddenly came across words you had never seen before, like yubbledoob, Tzoon and Gulshjun, you wouldn't have the foggiest what they meant, which is just as well, as they are all a bit rude. What's more, even if you have never seen the number 29,836,758 before, you can still count up from it because you know that all you have to do is add one every time. Even though it's only adding one, it's still adding, and that counts as maths. Now be honest, did anybody ever tell you about counting by adding one at a time? No? In that case, you must have worked out this little arithmetic all by yourself. Who's the little clever pants then? Before we move on to some serious sums, you'll be wondering how counting could be murderous. After all, this is supposed to be a book about murderous maths. Right then, picture the scene. Your alarm clock has just gone off, and with a happy smile, you spring lightly out of bed. Tra-la, you sing to yourself as you get dressed, but just as you are reaching down for a sock, it twitches on the floor. Har, har, comes an evil voice from the top of the wardrobe. It's your arch-enemy, Professor Fiendish, with a diabolically difficult mathematical trap. Har, har. Har har, he scowls again. I've shoved 13 deadly poisonous scorpions into your sock. What are you going to do about that, then? Casually, you tip the sock upside down and give it a deft flick. A selection of little bodies clatter onto the floor and scurry away. You count them up and get 12. Put it on, then, sneers the professor. Not just yet, I don't think, you say with a wry smile. With a final slick flick, you eject the 13th scorpion up towards the crouching figure. Arg, he wails as the scorpion embeds its long, stinging tail in the professor's weary nose. Your plan was brilliant, Fiendish, you say as you nonchalantly pull on your sock. And it would have worked, but for one tiny mistake. You didn't count on me being able to count. So there you are. Even counting can be murderous. QED. What does QED mean? You find out about QED and all sorts of other odd words and signs later. There's even such things as odd numbers, which we'll find out about now. Odd numbers. These are numbers that are not even. Gosh, what are even numbers then? Even numbers. These are numbers that are not odd. There, that was helpful, wasn't it? If you don't understand odd and even yet, then go and stand outside the cinema when there's a queue to see a really soppy love film. You can find out how many people are waiting to go in by just counting them up in a normal way. 1, 2, 3. Once the film has started, go in and have a look round. Of course, all the people will be frantically kissing each other, and in the dark, all you will be able to make out are couples huddled together. It's a bit hard to count each person separately, but you can still find out how many people are there if you count the couples in twos. All you need to do is walk up and down the rows, carrying a very full beaker of ice-cold orange juice, trying very hard not to spill it on anybody. As you trip over the feet of each couple, you count like this. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Providing that absolutely everybody is involved with kissing another person, you'll find there is what is called an even number of people. Even numbers always end in 2, 4, 6, 8, or 0. So 44, 210, and 38,937,856 are all even numbers. But suppose you were just finishing counting all the couples, and you suddenly see Pongo McWiffy sitting by himself. You'll have to add an extra one to your number. This will give you an odd number because you had to add an odd one, who is Pongo. Odd numbers always end in 1, 3, 5, 7, or 9. By the way, suppose the lovely Veronica Gumfloss came in and sat by Pongo, that would make another couple, so the number would then be even, and it would still be even if Veronica sat by herself, because if you add another odd one to an odd number, it becomes even. Odd, isn't it? Also, if you add an odd one to any even number, it becomes odd, which is even odder. Counting magic trick. This extremely simple trick will catch out almost anybody. Ask your victim if he or she can count. The answer is bound to be yes, so then ask, quick, what number comes next? 9,096, 9,097, 9,098, 9,099? Try it out on yourself first. In fact, do it right now. What number do you think comes next? If you said 10,000, then write the numbers out in sequence and see what the right answer really is. Remember, the first number is not 9,996. Does counting count as maths? Yes, it does. But be warned, this next bit is so simple, you might not understand it. If you wanted to explain to a pure mathematician what 3 means, the clearest thing to do is to count up. 1, 2, 3. But you don't know, the pure mathematician is quite likely to offer you a cup of strong coffee, sit you down and ask, aha, but what do you mean by 1 and 2? And are you sure they always come in that order? And even, what comes before 1? Honestly, although they can be lovely people, they're nutters, a lot of them. What is the difference between a number and a digit? Before we get any older, we should clear this point up. There are 10 different digits, and they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. You put digits together to make a number in the same way as you put letters together to make a word. The word trousers is only one word, but it has 8 letters. The number 4,789 is only one number, but it has 4 digits. Of course, some words only have one letter, such as when you are talking about yourself, you say I. Some numbers only have one digit. For instance, how many nostrils have you got? The answer is 2. In this case, 2 is the number of nostrils, but you only need a single digit to write it down. Not surprisingly, the digit is 2. It's clever stuff, isn't it? One great thing about digits compared to letters, it's very hard to make spelling mistakes. Suppose you are counting what number comes after 37. The answer is 38, which is very hard to spell wrong with digits. Of course, if you use letters, you have lots of chances to make yourself look foolish. T-H-I-R-T-E-E space A-T-E, F-I-R-T-Y space E-I-H-G-T, T-H-U-R-T-Y space A-Y-T. Awful addition. Whether you're just adding one at a time or working out mega sums that involve adding hundreds and thousands of numbers, there's one essential arithmetic trick. You can only add things that are the same. But there's also one handy trick to know. It doesn't matter what order you add things in. For instance, suppose you were sitting in a bath with 4 elephants, and 2 more elephants jumped in, you would end up sharing the bath with 6 elephants. This would also work the other way around. You could start off with 2 elephants in the bath and let 4 more jump in, and once again you'd end up sharing the bath with 6 elephants. Ouch! Written in numbers, we're just saying that 4 plus 2 is the same as 2 plus 4, and they both come to 6. By the way, one of the great things about murderous maths is that if you don't believe what you read in this book, you can also try these experiments out for yourself. You'll find this one works perfectly. Your only problem might be in finding out which elephant is sitting on the soap. So much for adding up things that are the same, but now let's say that you have 8 miniature poodles and put them in a cage with 4 crocodiles. What have you got then? 12 crocodiles? 12 poodles? A mixture of crocodiles and poodles, which you could call 12 animals. There are very happy burping crocodiles who are ready for a quiet snooze. You get the point. Even if you were just adding up numbers for the sake of it, this trick of only adding things that are the same still applies. Let's add these numbers together. 324 plus 61. Pah, that's easy. I'll tell you. 3 plus 2 plus 4 plus 6 plus 1 equals 16. That's right, it comes to 16. What are you staring at? What's your problem, eh? The problem is that you have added things that are not the same. Ooh, naughty. Something you didn't know you knew. There's an essential arithmetic trick which says each digit in a number means something different. If you can write down numbers bigger than 9, then you already knew this trick, although you might not have realized it. To find out exactly what it means, have a look at the number 2003, which looks like this. 2,003. So which digit is worth more, the 2 or the 3? Of course, standing on their own, 3 is worth more than 2, but in the number 2003, the 2 actually means 2,000, and the 3 is just worth 3 units. Or you can call it 3 ones, or even just 3 if you like. So how do we know the 2 is worth so much more? It's because of where it is placed. To explain this, we're very lucky to have Wally the 1 to demonstrate. Hi, I'm Wally, and standing here on my own, I'm worth 1. Now I've moved one place to the left. This is the 10th place, so I'm worth 10.
Hang on, Wally. How do you know you've moved one place to the left? You're still on your own.
Because there's an empty space next to me. Look.
That's no good. We can't tell if that's an empty place or if it's just a bit of blank paper.
To stop it being confusing, Mr. Postgate has kindly agreed to draw a zero in to show that it's an empty place.
That's clever. That zero means there are no units, and it also shows that I'm standing in the tens place.
Like I said, here I'm worth 10. I've moved over another place. Here I'm worth 100. And we've put in another zero for you, Wally. And every place I move to the left, I'm worth 10 times more.
Ugh! Thank you, Wally. That was lovely.
Now then, let's get a groovy number like 5,894,732, and here you can see what each digit is really worth. Units, tens, a hundreds, one thousands, ten thousands, a hundred thousands, millions. Incidentally, people put the little commas in just to make it easier to see what a big number is with a quick glance. They show you where the thousands and even the millions start. You can leave them out if you like and get 5,894,732, which is more useful when you are getting on with the sums.
So what's this got to do with me?
What we're saying is that you can't just add up all the digits in a number like you did, because they all mean something different. In fact, if you attacked this big number and added up 5 plus 8 plus 9 plus 4 plus 7 plus 3 plus 2, then you end up with a thing called a digital root, which is a complete waste of time when you're trying to work out something interesting and sensible like how many hairs you've got or how many chips you've eaten in your whole life. Let's go back to the sum and see what's really going on. It looks like this. 324 plus 61, but to help us keep the different bits apart, we usually write sums down like this. You'll see that the units, in this case the 4 and the 1, are above each other, and so are the tens. All you do is add up the units and you get 4 plus 1 equals 5, so you write 5 underneath in the answer box. Then you add up the tens, so you get 2 plus 6 equals 8, and you put the 8 in the answer box. The 300s don't have anything to add to, so they just go straight into the answer box, and you get 385. There's another way of looking at this. You can split each number into its separate bits, then add them up, so 324 plus 61 becomes 300 plus 20 plus 4 plus 60 plus 1. Because it's all addition, you can move the numbers around and get 300 plus 20 plus 60 plus 4 plus 1, then all you do is add the units, the tens, and the hundreds separately. You get 300 plus 80 plus 5, and when you put it back together, you get 385. Dead easy. So you think you're so clever, eh? Try this one. Mwah, ha, ha. 417 plus 48 plus 189. Gosh, you want us to add three numbers all together. Actually, there's no problem here because addition is about the only thing in maths where you can deal with more than two numbers at once. What's more to the point is that most addition sums give us an extra thrill that we haven't come across yet, so here's how to deal with it. First, we'll write the numbers out in a nice, convenient pile like this. 417 plus 38 plus 189 equals a thrilling gap. Because of this little extra thrill we're going to get, we'll need a bit of extra space somewhere, and most people leave a gap under the answer line. Off we go, then. We'll add up the units. 7 plus 8 plus 9 comes to 24. Gosh, how thrilling. In our answer 24, we have 4 units, and also 2 tens. We write down the 4 units in the answer box, but what do we do with the 2 tens? It's no good just hoping that they'll go away, so what happens is that we carry them over into the tens column, filling the thrilling gap with carried over numbers. You'll see we've written the 2 tens as the little 2 in the thrilling gap underneath the tens column. We can now add up all the tens, including the 2 tens we just carried over. We get 1 plus 4 plus 8 plus 2, which comes to 15. Just as we did with the units, we write down the 5 tens in the answer box, but we carry over the 10 tens, which make 100, by putting a little 1 in the hundreds place in the thrilling gap. Still filling the thrilling gap. We now add up the hundreds, including the 1 we carried over, and get 4 plus 1 plus 1, which makes 6. Once you've got the answer, you can cross off the carried over numbers if you like. There, we finished. Relax, take a shower, have a cup of tea, and try to wind down a bit. This sort of excitement is great fun in short bursts, but you do have to be careful not to overdo it, otherwise you'll be a cause for concern to your family and friends. He's obsessed with maths. And suddenly we're clever. As long as you remember about only adding things that are the same, some very long-looking sums become simple to do, even in your head. How about this? 10,003 plus 5. All you do is add the 5 to the units of the big number. Nothing else is affected, so you get the answer 10,008. How about 170,000 plus 30,000? It looks nasty at first, but when you look carefully, you'll see that it is adding together 17 tens of thousands to 3 tens of thousands. All you do is work out 17 plus 3 and get an answer of 20, which of course means 20 tens of thousands. When you write it out, you get 200,000, which you might realize is the same as 200,000. You might wonder why a posh book like this is bothering to make such a fuss about a bit of adding up, but understanding how the simple stuff works is vital whether you're doing maths or anything else. Suppose you fancy playing the Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto in C minor at the Albert Hall. You've got no chance unless you first learn how to open the piano lid.
Of course, for our nutty chums, the pure mathematicians, there's no such thing as simple stuff. It took thousands of years for them all to agree that if you add nothing to any number, the answer is that same number. In other words, when they finally worked out that 5 plus 0 equals 5, they were all terribly proud of themselves. Bless them. As you've gathered by now, even with the simplest addition, you should write numbers above each other so that all the units are in the same column. Of course, if you get the units lined up, then this ensures that your tens are lined up, so are the hundreds and the thousands and so on. You can easily see why this is a good thing, because which of these looks easier to add up? 85 plus 1,050 plus 370 plus 39. Or the mixed up way. One special case is if you were adding up money. Say you're going around the shops wondering what you can afford for Christmas presents. Again, it's worth trying to keep different amounts directly above each other. 3.50 pounds, 28 pounds, 11 pounds and 35 cents, 80 pounds. Here you can see single pennies are in a column, tens of pennies are in a column, so we're single pounds and tens of pounds. What a waste of time. Here's my Christmas present list. CDs for me, 15 pounds. Sweets for me, 75 pennies. New pants, me, 1 pound and 50 pennies. Spotty body cream, 2 pounds and 90 pennies. Oh no, I can't afford myself. Total, 232 pounds and 90 pennies. Other ways of saying addition. Because adding things up is so common, there are lots of different ways of saying it. You can add up a set of numbers, you can get the total of a set of numbers, you can find the sum of a set of numbers. And finally, a joke about addition that your teacher never told you. Ralph's first arithmetic lesson. Ralph, what's 6 plus 4? 10! Try not to use your fingers. Now then, what's 8 plus 2? 10! Very good, but this time don't use your fingers, put them in your pockets. Now, what is 5 plus 5? Poof! 11! Some sneaky signs, and how to get all your homework sums right every time. Maths is full of signs which tells you what to do and how everything works. So let's look at the ones we've used so far. But we've only had plus and equals. Oh really? So you haven't noticed the invisible signs then? Eh? One of the main arithmetic tricks is knowing how to use, move, and swap signs about, so we'll start with the easiest ones and see what they really do. Equals. Just about every sum in the world has to have an equal sign, and when you write sums out in a line like this, 28 plus 4 plus 9 divided by 31, they get called equations. Luckily for us, the equal sign is nice and straightforward. It just tells us that all the stuff on one side of the equation equals all the stuff on the other side. To explain it properly, let's go to the park and find a seesaw. Let's pretend that our equal sign is the pivot in the middle of the seesaw, and that everything on one side has to balance with everything on the other side. The pivot doesn't actually add any weight to either side, but of course if you took it away,